All right. Hey, everybody, Matt Gologly here. And what I'm going to do today is I want to talk to you about your business growth and your medical practice. And I want to talk to you specifically about the resistance points that you're going to face when it comes to that growth. Now, here's what is interesting. Last week, I spoke about three things that are going to be getting in the way of your growth. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to dive into one of those deeply today. And it's going to be one of the areas that you didn't probably think of. And that's going to be your staff. Now, over the last month, ever since I've released my book, The Anatomy of a Seven-Figure Medical Practice, I've been having lots of conversations with practice owners across the U.S. And the really interesting thing is that I've had quite a few practice owners who are right at the seven-figure mark, the $1 million mark, call me and book one-on-one consultations with me. And in every single one of those instances, and in the same thing with clients of mine who have gone from startup to being right at the seven-figure mark, the number one resistance point that they face to growth is their staff. Okay. Now, let me explain. Now, I'm not anti-staff. I'm not anti-employees by any stretch of the imagination, but let me just kind of just paint the scenario to you. You generally can get your growth from startup or $500,000 all the way up to $1 million just based on your pure effort. Okay. That usually looks like you working 6 days a week, 12 to 16 hours a day, putting in all this effort, handling all the tasks. Getting a couple of key employees in place, right? Like having a really good bookkeeper and somebody who works the phones up front and somebody who really just kind of gets it done from the med tech standpoint. But the reality is that they're actually impeding your growth. And here's why. When you start to grow, you have to start creating systems. Most people just when they start to grow, what they do is, again, they just do effort. They don't really think about systems. They think, oh, I'm going to get that done later. Or if they do have systems, what they have is they have a really kind of a loose confederation, and it's usually a verbal communication with regards to what needs to be done. That's fine if it's you and two or three other people. But once you start to go beyond six, seven, eight people, it becomes very hard to do what I call hallway mentoring, which is where when you're walking from one patient room to the other, you say, hey, from here on out, what I want you to do is I want you to do blah, 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 blah. Okay. That doesn't work once you start to get a lot of staff because you wind up telling one person but not the other. So when you start to get ready to grow, you need to start systematizing everything, which means you need to start putting everything down on paper and you need to start having checklists of how everything is done. You have to have one way, not three ways, to be able to accomplish a task, okay? So when the staff resists, what's gonna happen? What this generally looks like is you say, okay, here's what we're going to do, everybody. We're going to start systematizing everything that we do so that we have a very specific system on how it's done. And most of the people in that meeting are going to go, yeah. That's great. That's awesome. I really like that. It's going to make life a lot easier. The problem comes in is when you start to create it. Because the problem then is you have a way that you do it and your staff member might have a way that they do it and they're not the same and the conflict begins, okay? So that's going to create the resistance. They're going to say, yeah, I think that's great to create these systems and how to do things. But the reality is they don't want systems. And which leads me to my second thing, why they resist. And this is the biggest reason of all. When people come to work with a startup and they don't have benefits and they don't have healthcare and they don't have all these other things, in their heart, they're really a couple of things. One, they're entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs. Okay. There's a lot of people that like to fly close to the flame being the entrepreneur without taking all the risk. They actually think like they're taking all the risk, but we know that they're not. But these people like to be flying near the flame of the entrepreneurial ride. And quite frankly, they kind of sort of hope that maybe they'll get like to own 5% of it or 10% of it, which for them is like a huge deal, okay? What they really want is they want to own something without actually putting the money in, right? They want to have the sweat equity. Now, I'm perfectly fine with sweat equity in certain situations, but the reality, what I want you to understand is this is the way that they're thinking, okay? So one, they resist because they came on board because they wanted to be an entrepreneur. Two, they don't like being told what to do, which is why they came to work for you and they didn't go work for the big hospital group with the safe, secure hours where everything is this is how we do it. We do it X, Y, this is how we do it. X, one plus two equals three, okay? So you have to understand that all of a sudden you're changing something on them that they didn't think they were ever going to have to deal with. And so you start to create this resistance point. again, they're going to say to your face, yeah. And a lot of times what happens is they're not going to follow the systems. They're going to say, well, I think the system should be this way, and this is the way I do it, and I want it this way, and this is how I think it should be done, versus what's in the best interest of the team, right? So the staff generally, you're going to have staff members that resist. Now, not all are going to resist, right? You're going to have a couple that resist, but you're not going to have a full-out mutiny. I don't want you to think that you're going to have mutiny, okay? The other thing is the reason why you're going to get resistance is people that work for you from the startup phase is they really don't want to have rules that they have to follow on how to do things. The other thing is they're closet entrepreneurs. And then the last thing is that I think I said, and I just said this before, they don't like being told what to do. They want to tell other people what to do, which is kind of a very common entrepreneurial trait. I'm kind of that way. All right. So what do you do about this? Okay. So let's talk about what to do about this, because this is the most important thing. When you started your practice and you started on this venture, you have something in your head. Maybe you wrote it down on paper. Maybe you did something like that. But for most people, they have like a sheet of paper somewhere that they wrote down of what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it. And they just had this vision in their head. And then they just went out and they started starting the practice. But what they don't do is they don't really take the time to build out their vision and their values. Now, when somebody starts to work with me in private client group, I require them to get this book, Vivid Vision by Cameron Harrell. Cameron, if you are watching, and I'll post this on your Facebook page. Big shout out to you. Great book. This is The Entrepreneurial Dream. Look at how thin that baby is. Okay. Really, really easy. And when it comes to starting everything, you can really just read the first two chunks, which is like the first 60 pages, and boom, you're ready to go. Okay. Now, what I do is I have some supplemental video training that I take my private client group folks through. And then on top of it, I send them an example of what I do and all that good stuff. But here's why this is really important. The vision is important. What's more important are the values of your organization. This is the game changer. Okay. And my friend and mentor, Rob Berkeley, taught me this many, many years ago. And he taught me a tool called the values oil change, which I have all of my top clients utilize. Okay. And this is a major game changer. So let's start with the values. The values of the organization are going to dictate everything that you do. Okay. Now, in my clinics, we didn't learn this until, guess what? We got to about 1.5 million a year, and we were having a resistance point with growing, and we wanted to add a second location. And all I could think of is what a nightmare this was going to be, because we didn't have everybody on the same page. Now, I tried creating standard operating procedures, but the problem was is that nobody was following. Okay, this solves the problem, is the values. So what we did is I took my manager, top leaders, my doctor, everybody, and I put them in a room for a day. And what we did is we spent literally 4 or 5 hours going through the values of our organization. We came up with 4 values that were critical to our organization. Now, those values were reliability, accuracy, teamwork, and enthusiasm. And I'll start with the last one. This was actually brought up by my business partner. I thought it was a really, really good one. And that is, you want people that are enthusiastic about what you do. We used to joke that if you don't have a passion about great sex, you're probably not going to do a very good job here. You're probably not going to like working at the Carolina Men's Clinic or the Raleigh Clinic for Men. Okay. You're just not. Because if you have an issue with sex or you don't love great sex, and then we kind of always used to joke that, you know, we're in the erection business, and then we kind of morph that into others. But anyway, the whole thing was, is that you had to be passionate about great sex. If you weren't passionate about great sex, you weren't going to enjoy working there. You had to be very enthusiastic about people being able to have great sex again. The next thing was reliability. I'm a product of a father who was born in 1921, who survived the Great Depression, who served in World War II. Luckily, never had to go to battle, but was training for the invasion of Japan, was a World War II Marine. My uncle served in the Marine, in the South Pacific from 42 to 46. So, you know, I come from World War II Marine stock, and, you know, my father taught me to spit shine shoes at the age of 6, no joke. And so reliability, being where you're going to be early, was a big thing for us. Okay. That's one of the key things that I look for. Accuracy, because We had some people that had never been in medical that were in that space, and the accuracy of creating the right files and the right documentation in the files that came from our doctors, and then teamwork. And what we did is we had to define what teamwork was. Now, so that was reliability, accuracy, teamwork, and enthusiasm. Those were our four. And so we did a big rollout. And what generally happens with these big rollouts is people go, yeah. And they push it aside. No, we did something very different. Every single week, well, every day in our daily huddle, we talked about one of the values. And then we eventually started allowing staff to point out somebody who lived one of the values. If somebody said, hey, you know, April really lived the value today, yesterday of teamwork. Here's what she did. She helped me when I was falling behind. I know she had to go early, but she took, you know, 20 extra minutes and it helped me out. And we were able to get out of here early. Or enthusiastic, you know, Jamal came in and he's always happy and he was just in a great mood and I was feeling down. And so what we did is we created that environment where the team, not us, could point out who was living the values. Because what we wanted to do is we wanted to, for people to live those values. I used to joke that I want you to live these values when you're standing in line in the post office. Of course, I had to explain to my younger staff that there is a place called the post office. That was another topic for another day. But that's really what I wanted. I wanted somebody who was going to be that enthusiastic, who was going to be that teammate, someone who would help the little old lady across the street kind of thing, okay? And so what happened then is that we not only focused on that each and every single day in the clinic, but we always did what's called a values oil change once a month. And basically what it came down to is, based on our values, where are we living our values and what can we do to supercharge it? Where are we not living our values and what can we do to fix it? Okay. There are a couple of other questions, but I reserve that for my top end clients, but that's the gist of it. Okay. There's a couple of other processes that I take you through. but this was the key thing, right? Because we knew that everything lived and died on those values. Okay. Now, nowhere in those values did it say it was about Joey's way. Okay. And nowhere was it about Sheila really being the one who's in charge. Okay. That's not the way it worked, because it wasn't necessarily about a hierarchy, but it was about living the values. Now, you're going to notice in my wall back here, I've got an American flag, but I also have my number one value today for my organization. And that is grit, G-R-I-T. And one of the things that's in my culture that I look for is I look for people who have grit. Now, what that means to me and what that really means is I look for somebody who either has a chip on their shoulder about something or who has been through the fire of battle. I liken it to, I would rather have a bunch of people who have been in battle on my team than people who have just read about it. And what that also means is I really don't like whiny people, okay? Maybe that's not appropriate to say anymore. I'm sure somebody will get on me about, you know, stop whiny hate or something like that. But the reality is that if you're going to work with me, you're going to work on my team, I don't want to hear excuses, okay? I don't want to hear that the reason why you're tired today and for the fifth day in a row is because you stayed up till midnight binge watching something on Netflix. When staff would say that to me, and I mean, I'm so tired, I just don't have it today. I stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning binge watching YouTube videos. I go, well, why don't you just go to bed earlier? No, you don't understand. I was binge watching YouTube videos. I said, no, you don't understand. I don't care. I was nicer than that. Maybe a little bit, hopefully. But my point is I don't want to hear, right? We got a job to do. You know, I don't think Tom Brady sits in and goes, oh God, the reason why I'm not performing today in the football game is I stayed up late last night binge watching YouTube videos. Now, do I expect everybody to play at the same top level of Tom Brady? No, because Tom Brady is a one in a million, right? One in forever, one in a billion. But I do expect people to have hearts. I do expect people to give it their all each and every single day, okay? And if they're not, then the teamwork value is going to kick in and they'll support each other, right? I understand people have off days. I have off days. So, you know, this whole concept of your culture and your vision and your values are going to be the driving factor that actually gets you over the seven-figure year mark and grow you from a million to 6.5. I have a couple of clients that I'm working with right now that are right at that $1 million mark. And they have a couple of locations, and I've explained to all of them. Over the next 6 months, things might plateau a little bit. but you should be at $3 million to $5 million in the next year, right? You should have exponential growth once we fix these issues. And I've seen this time and time again. One of my doctors, Dr. Brian, had a big values and culture issue. And we fixed it and his business is going like this right now. It is skyrocketing. He just had not a record month, but he had another solid month. Normally you'd have a record month and a down month. He keeps having climbing months. Okay. Nicole, Roman's dealing with it right now. All of my clients, they all go through this, but you need to understand, in order for this business to grow, you have to create that vision and values, and you've got to be able to hold people accountable to it. And you can't just put them up on a piece of paper and expect people to get it. Every single day, you've got to drive this home. Okay. So that's what you do about it, is you must create vision, values, and do the values oil change on a regular basis. That's how you're going to create massive exponential growth. One of the ways you'll create massive exponential growth, because then you're going to have everybody on the same page, right? While you're putting in your systems in the way that you do it. And there's other systems you need to have. You need to have a predictable way to bring in clients, and that needs to be steady and all that stuff. We'll talk about more of that later. But I will tell you right now, the number one thing that I always start to discuss, one of the top three things I should say, I always start to discuss with my clients when they come on board, is we talk about this subject. It is such an important part to your long-term growth. And quite frankly, other coaches don't do this. You know why? Because it doesn't create immediate positive results. Okay, it takes a little while to get this right. And in our society today, what people want is they want a hack. They want a shortcut on where the money is. The problem is that that shortcut and that hack usually doesn't last. So we really want to create this culture. We want to create this vision and these values. And I can promise you this, you spend 90 days getting this right, 60 days getting this right, whatever it is, you will have exponential growth that'll be way more fun than you'll ever have by going out and buying the latest hack, challenge, or shortcut. That's what I have for you today. As always, if you'd like to book a call with me, you can go to callwithmatt.com, or you can get my latest book, The Anatomy of a Seven-Figure Medical Practice, at srpmedicalmarketing.com/book. I will put the links in the comments below. Have a great day, everybody. And for whatever you do, stay classy. Carpe diem.